All right, thank you for the intro. So I was here in November, and I did this same talk, and it was about how to crack the PM interview. And I realized when I was preparing for the talk that I hadn't interviewed in 6 years because I had been at Facebook for 6 years. So what I did was I actually went out and just said yes to some recruiters and took some interviews. And one of them actually worked out, and I took the job at Uber about 8 weeks ago. You'll see when I go through some of the tips, the last one is actually never say no to an interview. You never know how it's going to work out. So what I wanted to do, the agenda today, was to talk about some of the tips about what PM managers are looking for when they're hiring PMs. So that you can understand when they ask you a question, what it is that they're looking for, right? Because when they're asking things, they're clearly looking for signals, right? And we're going to go over what those signals are. And then at the end, I just have a few tips of like things that sort of work out. And I should go, I don't know, about 40 minutes or so. Stop me if you have any questions. I don't want to talk for 40 minutes and then do FAQ or Q&A, sorry. There we go. Okay. Boom. A magic. Boom. Oh, God, yes. Okay, cool. Okay, so the first thing, and I think the most important thing when you go into an interview is that they're going to ask you questions about a particular product. What is most important is why you're building it, right? Why are you doing it? It's for your consumers, of course, of the product, but what are the metrics and goals that you're going after, right? What's the goal of the company that you're tying this product back to? That's the first thing. If you're talking about a product and you're like, you're going to get this question all the time, like, what would you build if you were at this company? Your first response should be, well, the company's goals and mission are XYZ, right? And so I would want to build a product that tied back to the goal of the company or the mission of the company. Facebook, to keep the world more open and connected. So whatever you do, if you had an interview there, you would always tie back whatever it is that you're talking about back to the mission of the company. Otherwise, it's a no-starter right off the bat, right? And it's literally the most important thing that you can do. The other one is the metric side, right? So if you say, I want to build XYZ, and the reason is because it ties back to the one of the goals of the company, you'll always want to say, and how I would measure that is by blah, 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 blah. Or the key metric that I'm going after is usage or adoption, or at Uber, it's ridership or trips or what have you. But you have to have a key like KPI in mind for your product. And if you're asked about it, always, always, always talk about goals and metrics. Okay. The second thing is, and this is sort of tied together, is data-driven decisioning. So what's going to happen is you're going to get asked, why do you want to build XYZ? And you're going to say, well, the goal of the company is X. I know like my key metric is why, this is what I'm going after, but I'm using data to make that decision, right? I don't want to say, oh, I just think that's really neat. That's cool. I just thought of a really cool feature. That's like one of the biggest red flags that you'll hear in an interview. I just think this is really cool. No, don't say that, right? If you do say it's really cool because, right, the data supports my argument. There's this banners around Facebook when you walk around, and they're really cool and they're really big, and they say, data wins arguments. I don't know if anyone heard that phrase. It's an awesome phrase for PMs, because what you'll get, and we'll go through this a little later, is so many questions about how would you prioritize X over Y? Why would you do that? And the answer is always because the data tells me that, right? And when we talk about data, it's not necessarily just the data that you get through SQL queries or dashboards or whatever. It's also through qualitative data to be able to learn from your users. But just make sure that everything that you're answering when you answer a question is tying back to not only the goals and metrics, but some sort of data that is supporting the argument about why you want to build things. Okay. So the question about what would you like to build, which you'll always get. So there are PMs in the room, right? I think you said you're a PM. Who's a PM in the room? You always get, what do you want to build? What would you build if you were here? Have you always gotten that question in an interview? Always, right? So the reason why they ask that is not just for the goals and metrics, but also about innovation, right? How are you going to raise the bar of the company and the group that you're in? So how I define that, and when I do these interviews, I just want one good idea, just one. And the way we do that usually is what I'll say is, take out your phone. Pick any app on your phone, anything that you use, and tell me if you were the PM of that app, what would you build? Give me one feature what you would build. So we all know what the wrong answer is, right? Which is, oh, I know, I have a neat idea. It's, you know what? So I know the goal of the company, and I assume your KPIs and the metrics that you're going around are X. And feel free to go to the board when you get this question, because sometimes you want to think it through, because what you want is this one good idea. You just want one good idea, and sometimes it doesn't come to you right away, right? So you go to the board, and you're like, okay, so here are the goals, and here are the metrics that I'm going after, and here's my audience, and here are the personas that I have that I want to be able to reach. What's that one idea? And then try to reach back and think of that one great idea. And sometimes you'll be brainstorming with the PM manager in the room. That's a good thing. Any PM manager wants to do this. They're like, yeah, let's do it. Let's talk about that product. So even if some of the ideas are like, at first you're like, no, that's not it. And you're like, I don't quite get it. Keep thinking and keep iterating. And sometimes you'll notice that PM managers are really interested in the term at Uber is jamming. It's a little hip. But it's like jamming with you. It's like trying to go back and forth. And if you find a manager who's willing to do that with you, you know you've found a really good manager and company to work with. Because that's the kind of person you want to work with. Is this idea of like, how do we innovate and come up with one great idea? So just keep that in mind when you're answering questions, is all about like, what's that great idea that I'm really gonna wow them with when they leave the room? Technical acumen. So I get this question a lot. Like, are you going to ask me super technical questions? For you, for the engineers in the room, no problem, right? Bring it on. Ask me anything. For those people that are not that technical, what you'll want to do is ask the recruiter, how technical of an interview are you going to get? Because sometimes it'll be very technical. Like if you're interviewing at Google for PM roles, it's going to be tough. They're going to ask you some tough, technically oriented questions, especially around architecture. There are some companies where they don't care at all. Right? And it doesn't matter. But a lot of times you'll feel like you'll want to come up with a technical solution and you don't really know it. And that's okay. But what I would recommend is ask the recruiter, how technical of an interview is it? And what will I be asked? The way we did it at Facebook is it was sort of like a pyramid, if you will. We would ask you like a really technical question. And if you didn't get it, that's okay. Then we would ask you like like a SQL-based question, right? Like, tell me the difference between in and out or join, and that's just something sort of easy. And if you didn't know that, it's okay, but we're trying to understand what where the bar is, right? So you might get asked, like, okay, we'll go back 15 years, and you're creating a website for a movie rental company. Tell me about your data model. What is a data model? What kind of tables do we need? What kind of columns do we need? So you can sort of, you'll see, like, they'll usually come down to the level that you're at. So if you get the data-related question, here's the best way to answer that question, by the way. So give me a data model about X, right? Show me, like, you're building a product about your Amazon. You're just starting your online bookstore in 1998. Tell me what the data model looks like. The best answer to that question, and usually this is always the best answer to a question, is what do you want to know? What do you want to report on? So you know how, like, with your kids, you say, like, if any of you guys have kids, never answer a question with a question? In a job interview, it's actually a good thing, because what you're trying to do is find out exactly what it is that they're looking for. And that's how you nail an interview, because you find out what it is that they're looking for, right? So you go, oh, well, that's a good question. I want to be able to have users, you know, sort by where it was made and whether or not they won an award, and be able to sort by actor and genre. And you're like, ah, great. Now I know where you're going, right? You want to see if I'd be able to join different tables together. Great, no problem. So the bottom line with this is, don't be afraid to ask follow-up questions to find out what it is that they're truly looking for. Okay. The other one is, do I need to know about this market? Do I need to know about this business? This is a great question for the recruiter. Some companies really want you to know their business and their business model. Some companies, like Facebook, for example, don't care at all, right? It doesn't matter. So doing research and figuring out, at least from the recruiter, whether or not you need to know that industry, and if you do, you better research it, right? And try to figure out as much as possible about what the trends are in that industry, what the products are in that industry, who's successful, and better yet, who hasn't been successful and why, right? Because you never want to make the same mistake that somebody else made. So do your research. Try to figure out as much as you can about a particular market. All right. So leadership. So why is this important? So for a good PM, spends 80% of their time day to day working with engineers, designers, researchers, building product. The other 20% of the time, I think, is, you guys are the designers in the room, right? Working with design to make sure that you have a vision for your product. 2 years from now, what does our product look like? What is that North Star? Where are we bringing the entire team so that we know when we build a roadmap, this is our end goal, right? This is incredibly important to being a good PM. And working with design is so incredibly important for being a good PM, because without that, if you don't have a way to articulate that through mocks, through design, you really have a hard problem trying to sell what it is that you're looking to do. Because as a PM, a lot of times you're in sales. You're selling your own product to upper management because you want the resources to be able to build what you want to build, right? You have a lot of difficulty doing that without saying, going back to the beginning, here's what I want to do, here are the metrics that I'm trying to drive, here's how it ties back to the goal of the company, right? But this is where we're trying to go, and here's why. Yes?
What is the best way, do you think, to sell to upper management to get more resources? And how do you know if you need more resources for a specific new product launch or feature or to improve upon your current product?
Yeah, that's a good question. So you come bearing data. You say, here's the product that I want to build, and here's the data that supports my argument. Here's the vision. Here, I worked with, I'm going to keep pointing at you guys because they're like, you're the designers, and like literally a PM cannot succeed without a good designer. But here are the mocks that show like where our North Star is going. Then get cross-functional support from like everybody that you can find, right? Like, here are the people from finance that agree, and here are the engineers that agree, and here's design that agree, and here's the research that agrees. And you come in, you're not coming by yourself, right? You wouldn't go to war by yourself, right? You would come with an army, right? And you need that army behind you to be supportive, to say, like, this is what we're doing. Obviously, the more senior, at some companies, the more senior people that you get on board to believe in your vision, the better, because they can come to bat with you. So what I would do is usually start at some level and then go up and then go up and then sell that vision and keep going. And then when you're ready and you have this army behind you, then you go and make your pitch. Whoop. I gotta keep hitting this every 5 minutes. Okay, there we go. Okay, so at Facebook, we actually have different, 6 years is hard to get rid of. There are actually different, you can think of it as a pie, and every interview is actually looking at a different piece of the pie. There are people that are looking for vision and execution, for technical acumen, for leadership, for data-driven decisioning, absolute pies. One of them is, can this person get shit done? Can they execute? You need to prove to people that you're just not, like, you just don't come up with ideas. You're a doer and you get shit done. You have to, we'll get through this in a little bit. You have to sell yourself, but you should come prepared with a story for how you get shit done, right? And especially when, like, I was up against this, and I was up against this, and I was up against this, and this is how I get it done, and this is how I executed, and this is how I built the roadmap, and this is how I executed on this vision. Because at the end of the day, we're all worker bees. We all need to get stuff done. But just walk through a story that you have in your mind in about 3 minutes, which proves that you're the kind of person that gets shit done and you're not just someone who just does this. It's really important. Communication. Be succinct. I'm not being succinct tonight, so this is a little different. I'm presenting. But in a interview, be succinct. Never talk for more than 2 minutes without asking questions. Never. Because then what you're doing is you're talking at them, and that's not what they want to communicate. They want to have a conversation, right? So to your question, right? So you say, like, here's a story, and don't talk too fast, right? But here's a story in 2 or 3 minutes where I have an example. And then you say, like, would you like to hear an example where I worked with a team to get things done? And they might say yes, and they might say no, right? But this is, communication's really important. Because, okay, how does every job interview start? What's the usually the first question you get? Tell me about yourself. Why do they ask that? They want your elevator pitch, but what else? What? Yes. 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 You were here last time. I recognize you. We have a mole in the room. We have a mole in the room. They want to test your, like, of course, yes, it's more of an icebreaker. But have you ever been in an interview where you were interviewing someone and you asked, like, tell me about yourself, and they went on for, I don't know, 15 minutes? Anyone been in that space? What did you think after about 4 minutes? Oh, crap. What have I gotten myself into? Right? They're looking for, they're actually, when I ask that anyway, but most people are really honestly looking for your communication skills. How succinctly can you go through your background, right? And talk about the highlights in, let's say, 3 minutes, right? And then say like, hey, would you like to hear more about XYZ? Because what happens is, and this goes back to your question, when you sell your elevator pitch, how much time are you going to get with like the CEO of the company? 5 minutes? You better be really succinct, right? You come in and you be like, this is why we're building it, and this is my vision, and this is what I'm going to do. And I just want to be clear about the hitting the talking points, right? So if you get in a situation where you go, tell me about yourself, practice that. Spend 3 minutes, 4 minutes, just practice it, right? Make sure that you're skipping over the parts that aren't all that relevant and you're getting down to the detail that you really want to communicate. I think is to be personable, to be friendly, to smile, right? Because people want to hire people that they like. You know, I don't know if anyone read that Malcolm Gladwell book, Blink. Remember he talked about like, he had a guy who went to Harvard Business School and blah, 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 but he was kind of a jerk. And he'd go into interviews, but totally turn that off and turn on the charm. And he said, the number one thing that's most important in a job interview is to smile. Because people want to work with people that they like, right? So, it is good to, when they ask you to like tell you about yourself, usually you don't say like, well, I live in Oakland and I have 2 kids and they're this age and, you know, I went to this university and blah, blah, blah. But it is kind of cool to connect on some sort of personal level and trying to do that. Like, at least I try to do that before they get to the tell me about yourself, right? So that you're walking into the room and it's like, how was your weekend? Or like, you know, just how, oh man, I was, you know, out playing golf or I went skiing this weekend, or trying to connect in some sort of way, I think is important. So the last story I wanted to tell about this, there was one guy I interviewed that I actually timed. It got so long that I just sat there and just timed him. He went for 17 minutes with talking about his background. And I had his resume in front of me. And, you know, when you're interviewing someone, you don't want to be rude, so you give them all the time that you have. If you have 45 minutes, they get 45 minutes. But I knew within 5 minutes it was over, right? Because I couldn't imagine him walking into a meeting and doing that, right? So just try to be succinct. Yes?
Quick question on that. Tell me about yourself. Do you talk about exactly what you've got on your resume, or do you throw in something extra that's not on your resume?
Yeah, he or she can read your resume, right? And hopefully they have, right? Because otherwise you wouldn't be in the room. So I would definitely talk about things that aren't on your resume, but it's a sales pitch, right? So you want to think of like, what are the 3 most important things that I want to communicate to this person? These are the 3 best things that I've done in my career, and I want to make sure I articulate that clearly, whether it's on your resume or not. Cool. Okay. I didn't forget. Didn't forget. Okay, most likely you're going to get interviewed by someone from design or research, if it's a big enough company. You will get designed. I'll ask you guys, what are you looking for in a PM during an interview? What kind of skills?
Project management.
Wrong answer, you're not hired.
Done and rally people and get the team all together.
Totally, totally. But they all, you also check, I think, that that you're going to listen and work with design, right? That it's a two-way street, right? That it's not like, okay, so here's what I want you to mock up for me. Do this and this and this and this, and I want these pixels over here and blah, 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 blah. That is not ever going to work, right? It's the people that are super collaborative with their design partners to say, like, you know, I'm not the best designer in the world, but I have some ideas from a product perspective, but that's where I rely on design. And user experience, right? Like, obviously any good PM is focused on user experience. So if you get a question about, like, tell me about a time where you worked with design really well, or tell me about a product that you think has a really good user experience. Or you'll get the opposite of that one. Tell me about a product that has a really horrible user experience. And just come prepared, because you're probably going to get this question. And you know, just go through your apps, right? Go through a few websites, find some things that are good. But the most important thing here, I think, is around collaboration and around, especially if you've ever worked with another partner, another, like, somebody else that you really collaborate well with, that's what they're looking for. Yes?
So I have a question on the other side. Like you joining as a product manager, what things should you try to make sure, what resources will be available for you? What do you think are necessary for you? So which you also want to make sure that you have, so that you're not signing up for something. So you don't have designers. So what else should you make sure you...
That's a really good question. So let me repeat it, because I want to make sure everybody heard that. So when you're interviewing, what kind of questions can you ask around what kind of support you're going to get? If you work for a startup, yeah, sure, you might not have research and design and UX. You're just going to have an engineer in you. If you work for a bigger company, I would absolutely ask that on the in a phone screen. Tell me about the team. And if they don't mention design or research, or for that matter, data science, which for me, like as a data nerd, like if they didn't have a data scientist on the team, like that's a little red flag. But you'd say, you'd ask things like, is there headcount for those kind of resources? If no, is there budget available for me to hire somebody to do that with me? If the answer is no,
so you're saying design, research,
data science, for sure. It depends what kind of product you want to build. If it doesn't have anything to do with data science, then you don't need it.
So, Randy, you mentioned that most likely a data science will interview the PM. So, what is the main thing you think a data science wants to test a PM, and what will be an example of that kind of question?
I don't think a data scientist will be on your interview loop. A designer will, most likely, in a big company. A data scientist. Okay, here's a question. This is one where we asked at Facebook. Okay, so we were building a recruiting tool at Facebook, and the data scientist said, "I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to figure out all the traits of people that work here at Facebook, because we have all this data, right, at our disposal. So like what pages they like and who their friends and where they went to school and their work history, and I'm going to use all this data. And then I'm going to find people just like them. I'm going to find lookalikes, which Facebook uses in advertising, like lookalike audiences. So I'm going to do that. What's the problem with that?" They might ask that. Does anyone know the answer, by the way? Yeah. Yes. It's homogeneous, right? You're going to hire the same people, right? So maybe they're going to ask you like those kind of questions, not like, tell me about the model you'd build and exactly how you'd rank, like create an algorithm for XYZ. you need to say it like that. That's not my job, right? Like, my job is to help data scientists understand what it is that we're trying to solve, right? But I don't create algorithms. The question was, what kind of technical skills do you look for for PM managers? That's why I was saying earlier about you need to ask, because every company is different, right? So some companies, I don't know if Intuit is one of them, would look for very technical people and, like, you know, write, you know, actually go to the board and code, right? If that were me, I would say, okay, this job isn't for me, right? I mean, you just punt, right? What can you possibly do? But I think you should feel that question out before going. I don't think, usually for most companies, you don't get that, except for, like, Google or some of the super high-tech companies.
I asked, so I've seen that a lot of job recs lately on LinkedIn, right? Especially when companies are starting up and data is the product. They're like, for RPMs, you know, you have to be great at SQL, and it's plus if you know, like, Python, R, but also, like, you know something about, you know, Hadoop, Spark, da-da-da. I'm like, I feel like you guys want to hire a data scientist.
Well, they're... Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. A lot of companies wouldn't get into that level of depth. But that's fair. That's fair. Like, how would you design a cohort? Yeah, okay, that's fair. How would you, what's the importance of A/B testing? Yeah, that's certainly fair as well. Okay, this keeps... All right. Okay. So what I thought I'd do is actually go over a few questions. And we'll go through what the interviewer is actually looking for. So we talked about this one already. Tell me about your background. Tell me about yourself. That one, they're looking for succinctness. How do you measure success of, what do we do at Facebook? How would you measure the success of Newsfeed? Just that generic. How would you measure that? Depends on your goal. What's your goal? Good. See, what he did was you didn't answer. You were basically looking for more information.
Well, aren't they looking from that perspective from you, right? You should be developing the goal
instead of asking. Yes and no, but different products have different goals, right? So you say, I'd assume that you're looking for engagement. Tell me if I'm wrong. Or I'd assume you're looking for the number of likes and comments. Or are you looking to optimize for time on Facebook so you can get through as many stories as you can so we can show you more ads, right? But if you start thinking about it and then asking questions about, like, is this the kind of thing you're optimizing for, or is this the kind of thing you're optimizing for? But it shows that you're diving into the details and you're asking the right questions. This one I get a lot. Product X is down. What do we do next? Okay, so what was the Facebook example that we used for this? I know. Facebook Live. Does anyone know what Facebook Live is?
Yeah.
All right. Facebook Live is, and we get to this a little later. You're the PM for Facebook Live. The amount of time that people are spending on Facebook Live is going through the roof. So congratulations. The problem is, way fewer newsfeed stories are seen. What do you do? Right, so you're the PM of a product that's kicking ass, but you're actually causing issues with someone else's product at the company. What do you do?
Which is more valuable,
right? So you ask that question. What are you optimizing for? And you go, good question. We're optimizing for the next 3 months, we're optimizing for time on Facebook Live. And we're willing to give up a little bit on ad revenue. But that won't last forever. So what do you do now? Well, there's a few things we can do, right? We can monetize Facebook Live, right? That's one thing we can do, right? So, but the other thing is, what they're looking for here is, do you have relationships with other product managers at the company that you can work with to make sure that they understand your roadmap and where you're going with your product and where they're going with their product, so that you're working in tandem? You're never by yourself. Right? Yes?
What if it's more like holistic, like Facebook usage as a whole is down? How do you fix that?
Facebook usage as a... I mean, that's... Yeah. That's hard. I don't know if you'd ever get that question because no one's the PM for Facebook, right? They're all like individual products that work in that. But if you said like, okay, we're a startup, and we're DoorDash. You're the PM for DoorDash. And it all is going south, right? I didn't say that because of Uber Eats, by the way. Get your phone, download it now. What would you do, right? That is a fair question, because there might be a handful of PMs at DoorDash. I don't know, is anyone working at DoorDash? But you'll never get that for a huge company, because no one's in charge of just one thing.
Unless you're applying for a CEO.
Unless you, if you're the chief product officer, that's a different thing. But yes, you're Chris Cox. Okay. So this one we talked about. Pick a product and tell me a feature why they should build. Or tell me a feature that they should build. And what they're looking for is why. Why are you building it? Why do you want to build it? What metrics are you going after? How does it tie back to the goal of the company? What data do you have to support the argument that you want to build that? What is innovative about your answer? So this is definitely not about the what. It's about the why. And you'll probably get that at every job interview you get. Same question. What's more important, the number of weekly users you get, this is a Facebook one, or engagement of those users you have, which means engagement meaning like how much they use it versus like the number of weekly users that you have. Is it about how many or how much? Or sorry, how many or how often? It depends on the goal. Good answer. Everyone's learning. I'm so happy. I'm so happy. It depends on the goal. Remember to state your assumptions, right? Has anyone done yet a PM exercise for an interview? You have. What company?
Google.
Okay. So what happens sometimes is they say, hey, we have a few questions we want to ask you. Spend 3, 4, 5 hours, what have you, and tell me your thoughts and send them back in, right? What you're going to have to do on that is write every assumption. I'm assuming this and this and this. I assume your metrics are like, I'm going to assume your goals are this and your KPIs are this. So you have to make assumptions to be able to tie back, because you have no idea, unless they give it to you, what it is that their goal is. You know the mission of the company, but you don't know what the product goal is, and you don't know what the current metrics are, unless they tell you. Maybe they do, but often you don't. Right. But, yeah.
So I got the design of the basic recruiting system, but that's the sound that you did.
You did?
Yes. So I gave them
That was my team. It's good stuff. What did you say? Did you make a lot of assumptions?
Assumptions, yes. Actually, kind of a line. What is the funnel?
Did you talk about the funnel?
No.
That's what I was looking for, right? Data, right? So for those of you who couldn't hear, she said she had an exercise about optimize the Facebook recruiting system and create one from scratch. And that one is very, very much around data. Like, where in the funnel, if you will, are people getting stuck? And how do you optimize for those issues? And you have to make assumptions, right? You have to be like, I'm going to make an assumption that actually people are getting stuck at the top of the funnel, right? We don't do enough sourcing, or we don't get enough phone screens, or what have you. Yep. Okay. This one we talked about. The answer to this one was... Which one's more valuable? What's more valuable? What's your assumption? And I'm going to go talk to the other product manager. Okay. This one you'll get without fail. What would be your process for prioritizing features on a roadmap? Super generic, right? You're like, how the hell am I going to answer that? I have no idea what is on my roadmap, right? So... the answer to this question goes back to the beginning for what we talked about. How does it meet my goals? What are the business metrics that I'm going after? Take everything that's on my roadmap and build all the business value for each of those features, and I would rank them that way. And then, who are the engineers in the room? What are you going to say to that? You're going to go... It depends who you're interviewing with, right? The engineers are going to say, okay, well, what if I want to build something because it makes my system a lot faster, more scalable, what have you? What are you going to do then? So you know that phrase, know your audience? And I'm looking at you guys because, like, if you're in an interview with a designer, make sure, like, everything you're thinking about is in their perspective, right? Same thing with engineers, for sure, right? It's going to be easy for you, right? You're like, absolutely. I think, like, making sure the system is, like, stable and scalable is incredibly important, and that, you know, trumps, you know, anything. Know your audience. Know who you're talking to. If you're talking to another product manager, you might say, well, I know engineers are going to want certain things, so I'm going to have to understand and make trade-offs and pros and cons. And usually what I'm going to have to do is not throw them a bone, but, you know, like, I'm going to have to do some things for them. I'm just going to have to, right? Because at the end of the day, if you're a product manager, your product doesn't get built without engineers, unless you know code, right? So learn code, and then put them all out of business. No, I'm just kidding. It's really important to know who's asking that question, because they're looking, engineers are definitely looking for, is this person willing to work with me? If this person willing to take my feedback? Yes? Yeah.
So that way you don't have to go back and forth and everything.
That's fair. Usually you'll negotiate that negotiation, which is like, is it going to be 10? Is it going to be 20? That's fair, right? To say in advance, we're going to carve out 20% of our roadmap for all architectural issues. Some engineers might be cool with that. Some might say 20 is not enough. And then what do we do? What if we have to take our entire roadmap and rebuild something? Right? Members of a product team have different priorities. How do you balance those conflicting priorities? It's really the same answer, right? It's about business value and it's about impact. So you're trying to understand what the impact is of what you're building versus what they're building. This will always be the case, because PMs will say, and this goes back to what your question was, PMs are going to say, okay, I know I have a team of 7 engineers. That's cool. and you're going to say it, and you're going to say it, and you're going to say it, and we all have seven, right? And you and we all have different products that we want to build, but we all need 10, right? And you know this is going to happen all the time. You're like, yeah, I know your product's cool, but mine's super cool. And like, this is why, and this is how it meets all the goals. It's very much about trade-offs. And sometimes you might have to negotiate and say like, hey, you know, this time you get your 10, but next time let's trade it off, right? I think what they're looking for here really is around collaboration, right? I think all PMs feel like they're sort of in the middle, right? They have design and research and engineering and data science, and they're in the middle trying to help negotiate with priorities. And that's often true. So, yes?
In your many interviews, what would be the bad answer for number two? Like,
a bad answer?
Yeah, for like bad design. Like, they describe it in such a way that it's a hate.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Don't think this person.
Oh, sorry, I missed that one. Okay, the second one. So he asked, like, what's a bad answer? Tell me about a product that is well-designed or not well-designed. So it's an answer that doesn't have the user in mind. I think. I believe that blah, 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 blah. One that says, in my opinion, I think users or whoever it is that their segment would have difficulty with this particular product. Because of XYZ. And the reason here, again, is the why, right? So I always say Waze. I don't know. Anyone work for Waze? Okay. Like, I can't understand the app because it constantly changes and I don't want it to, like, as it's driving. And I'm like, stop doing that. So I go back to like to the mission of why was Waze built, right? What is the purpose of the company? What is the purpose of that product? How do they make money? How do and then I'll you know just say like I'm trying to crowdsource what happened at a particular place, but I can't see it because the UI is not intuitive for me and it always changes when I don't want it to or something like that. Yes.
So for the first question, prioritization, if it is the product manager or hiring product manager who is the leader in product or even a CEO of the company, how would you answer that question? Prioritization.
If I was a CEO of a company?
No, if the interviewer is a VP.
Oh, manager. If that, so you always think like, what kind of answer are they looking for, right? So they're looking for a very an answer that's tied very much back to the goals of the company. What are the KPIs? Same thing, but thinking broader, right? Meaning like over all the product suite, not just yours. So I'd say like it's not about necessarily about my product. It's about our product. It's about making the company better, right? Know your audience, right? They're especially a CEO. It's way more interested in the company than they are in like individual products, right? So it's like, this is how I think we move the company forward. This is how I think we best meet the mission of the company by building this product.
Thank you.
So that's not bullshit. Yes, did that come up? Excuse me.
One question. So I'm an engineer slash architect. One thing I'm asking is, what kind of questions do engineering managers ask when they're interviewing a product manager? I guess they would be, like, because they have to work that's one, and the other is, like, on what would be, like, prerequisites for, like, say, once you have the job, like, for your first year as product manager, like, how do you say whether you did well or not? Like, what kind of goals would you set for a product manager who's just joining, or how should a product manager, like, set his goals for?
Okay, I'll take the second one first because I'll forget the first one. And then I'll ask you. So you have to know yourself, right? So
Because then there also need to be KPIs for the product manager, how it's doing well.
So you, how do you, so the second question was, how do you know that you've done well?
You know, like what goals do you want to set?
What goals do you, so I think the right answer to that question is that the goals of your product are your goals. Mm-hmm. If you don't hit your product goals, you probably haven't succeeded. You might have learned something. That's cool, right? And in your performance review, you go, hey, look what I learned, right? And you're like, great, you're fired. This sort of goes back to the question you were asking, which was like earlier, which was like, what was the most fun you've ever had, right? Fun equates to like building super impactful products, right? So you will state at the beginning, we showed about that, you'll be like, these are my product goals. This is what I'm trying to hit. And if you hit those, then that should be the goal of your first year. It really should. The second question, and I actually remember most of it, is about like what kind of questions you get from engineers during an interview.
Engineering manager.
So what they're going to want is that, who's an engineering manager in here? Wow, okay. What they're going to want to hear is that you're not, you're not super prescriptive, right? That you're willing to give and take. Two, to your point, that there are times in which I'm going to have to prioritize work that comes specifically from engineers, and I'm going to have to go back to my business counterparts and tell them they're not going to get particular features. But in the long run, it's a good thing, and here's why, right? It's just being, and when my engineer comes back and tells me it's going to be 3 months to build something and it takes five, I'm going to be understanding of that because I'm not going to be super demanding, but I'm going to want to know why and what we can do about it in the future, but I'm not going to be super prescriptive. They're looking for collaboration, right? And they're looking for vision, right? They're looking for, like, where are you taking my group? Where are you taking my engineers? What are they going to be working on? So I got, it's interesting that, I just hit on this. Sometimes engineers go, you know what, I feel like I'm working on things that are just not all that impactful.
But that's basically why the reason why I was going to program management, because I'm like, I don't believe in what.
I don't.
You're asking me to build.
Yeah, exactly. So you're going to get that, right? You're going to come up with ideas that your engineers aren't going to want to build. That's hard, right? So that's why leadership is so important, because you need to get them on board. You need to have answers about why. So that's where like throwing a bone comes into mind, right? Which is like, what is it that you want to build? Why do you think, and have that, don't be, just say, why do you believe this particular feature is more valuable than what we have on the roadmap? Show me the data that supports that. Because if they have that data, awesome, let's build it. If they don't, then you say, well, the data that I have supports the argument that supports my roadmap. And that's why we're building it, right? So again, like, data wins arguments. Let the data help you with that argument.
Mm-hmm. At least 3 months versus 5 months, it makes you think, well, using Agile, Waterfall, how do you, you're doing this robot, how do you guys interact with the, project manager world, and how does that kind of relate, and is there a hierarchy, or?
No hierarchy. There's, sometimes, depending on how big the company is, right? A lot of times, PMs will help, on execution, right? Yeah. Which is really, at the end of the day, that's what they're there for, right? To help execute that product, right? So you just say, like, as a PM, I'm trying to help you execute that product just like you are, and we're partnering and aligning on exactly what we need to do.
You as a product rather manager are creating it, and then the project manager would say, okay, we got the idea. How do we run with it and make it happen? Is
Yeah, like how do we cut it into two-week sprints, and what kind of tasks do we need to be able to build, and what's our burn-down chart and all that? Like, sure, yeah. Sometimes good PMs can, good product managers can do that on their own, and sometimes they can't, and they need to lean on. Depends how big the project is, right?
What's the general interview process? So, if you're interviewing, do you have any tips on how to gauge whether your manager is going to be interested in your career goals and is not a micromanager?
Yes. Don't ask them. Right, no, seriously, ask. So you want someone on that interview panel that's reporting to that manager, and you ask them. Give me an example of how this manager has supported your goals, right? Because you might not get the truth if you ask. If you don't have that opportunity, you say, like, hey, can you give me an example of someone in the past that you've managed that you've supported their goal? Just tell me about it. It's better to hear it from somebody else. Oh, the micromanager. Well, that is certainly, I would rather ask somebody else than ask the manager that. How would I phrase that? How often are you involved with this product? Do you go to the stand-ups? Do you, are you the kind of person that, do you email people after like 9 o'clock and on weekends? I'm just wondering. I'm asking for a friend.
Those are the extreme, like 9 p.m. on a weekend.
9 p.m. on a weekend. I keep going back to like, don't work for that company.
Actually, there's a suggestion for that.
Yes. Yeah, that's in. Status report every day. Yeah, don't work for that company. Because you're looking in an interview, and I should just say this quickly, this is going both ways, right? You're interviewing them, right? Just get that ready to put the red flag up and be like, whoa, 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 wait, what did you say? Yeah.
What are your thoughts on documenting, like coming into an interview with like 4 or 5 pages and like just kind of being proactive? And sometimes you get a homework assignment, but what if you don't and you come in and like you say, hey, I put together some topics, does that backfire? Or?
Yeah, I've never seen that work. Someone showed me something and I was like, so I'm the hiring manager, I'm driving the interview, right? Like, that's cool to sell yourself, but if you're going to do that, definitely ask if that's okay and be super succinct about it, because it might backfire, especially if it's not great. Yes?
A more specific question on the type of questions which involve estimation. So if somebody asks you to estimate size, market size, or whatever, I don't know if you've asked those before, but have you?
No, like, ask the...
Yes.
Oh, shit, those. So that, like, that's the... So if you're talking about, like, the Google, like, how many ping pong balls can fit in this room, get up and walk out of the room. That's a horrible... So I would ask, like, can you tell me what you're looking for with that question? Like, I'm, you know, because who the fuck cares how many ping pong balls are in this room, right? I get that you're looking for my analytical skills, but come on, like, it's never going to come up. Those kind of analytical skills aren't going to come up day in and day out. That's a very Google thing to do.
Yeah, and so a follow-up to that is, you said, you know, it's a two-way street. How do you gauge that? I mean, sometimes I think it's really hard to gauge, well, should I ask a question now because I really have a question? But I want to make sure, because interviewers would say, I'm going to give you 5 minutes at the end of the interview to ask questions. So does that's an indicator, okay, don't ask questions or just go with the flow?
No, you can ask questions. It's okay. But don't, like, make sure they're relevant, right? So it's like, hey, what's your PTO policy? Like, don't ask that. right? Hey, do you right? Am I right? Yeah. As long as it's germane to the conversation that you're having, that's totally cool to ask questions. But don't ask like the generic questions that you've thought of already until the end.
I've seen a lot of PM jobs have a filter, either a technical degree or an MBA. And how do you bridge that gap if you don't have either?
Don't pay any attention to that, right? Because basically they're saying like this is the bar we're trying to get to, but not every company can still apply for those jobs, right? Don't let it dissuade you, especially the MBA. Like I have an MBA. Like nobody has ever once asked me or cared that I did.
And
right.
Many times the job descriptions are not written by the hiring manager. Like they're pretty general.
Well, they should be.
And then do you think that you have to choose kind of gaining more technical skills through classes versus getting an MBA, which do you think would be better in the long term, making you a more successful PM?
That's a really good question. what was it? Oh man.
What type of PM do you want to go? What type of companies are you looking for? You know? Then the two will be different.
Totally. Do you want to be a super technical product manager? Is that your goal?
To be definitely an enterprise software product manager.
Yeah. And would you rather, are you entrepreneurial?
A little bit.
Because MBAs are better at from the entrepreneurial perspective, because you get that, like, here's the finance perspective, here's the marketing perspective. It depends, right? It depends on...
Because I have a business undergrad, so I find that as my strong point, but then it's tough because I don't have kind of, like, the credibility.
I think that the companies that say like MBA, I think usually it says like MBA preferred, right? Usually not required, right? Because what job is MBA required? That would be weird. So, but it's like, yeah, this would be great if they did, but if they don't, that's fine. Like, that's not a good bar for whether they're good at good PM or not. So I would say it depends on how you want your career to go. I know that's such a shitty answer, but it's true.
Hey guys, for time's sake, we're just gonna let Randy finish up the presentation and then we can take the rest of the questions offline.
Okay, I only have one more slide, by the way. And then I know you wanted to ask. Okay, so, boom, there we go, right on time. See, I just had to be here twice and now I got it. You just have to wait like 7 seconds. Okay, so some of these we talked about, but I just put these out here because I think they're really important, especially as the amount of interviewing that's done. Definitely be personable, to your point. Speak slowly. And the reason why I say this is you're going to be nervous, right? Like we're all nervous in job interviews. What happens when you're nervous? You start talking faster. I start talking fast anyway. Try to be conscious of the fact that you're talking quickly and just slow down. The best interviews that I've had are ones where I'm just having a conversation with somebody, where it's just very give and take, right? Because we're both relaxed and it's cool and like we're speaking slowly. Just be conscious of how fast you're talking. The third one is super important. Understand the company culture. Right? What is the company culture? And a lot of times you'll find this on Glassdoor, right? Especially for people that either work there or have worked there. Is it a super engineering-driven company, right? Is it a super product-driven company? So there's so many. Like Facebook and Google, super engineering-based companies. Like at the end of the day, they say what goes. LinkedIn is a product company. Salesforce.com, it's a sales company, right? You have to know what kind of culture you're getting into so that you can answer the questions based on the company culture. I think it's really important. And if you don't know, ask the recruiter. So I would ask, like, what are the three or four cultural values of the company? I think you were talking about this earlier. Ensure you always have the customer's need in mind. When you answer questions, and we talked about being data-driven and goal-oriented and metrics-driven, but at the end of the day, you don't use your product. Your customers do. It's all about them and their needs. So make sure when you're talking that you're talking about this is what they would want. And this is my persona I'm going after, and this is my market segment. And it's about them. It's not about you. It's about them. To your question, your point, I don't know who asked this about the questions. Prepare thoughtful questions in advance. Oh, he's gone. There he is. You should definitely have four or five questions all ready to go. Not so much prepared like, here's my book and I'm going to open it up. But you should really think about really good questions. And don't ask, like, tell me about, like, the time off policy and stuff like that. Just ask, like, really good in-depth questions about, like, I understand you changed your mission, you know, like, 2 years ago. Like, what was that about and what were you trying to go after and that sort of thing. So we talked about this one last time. Never, ever, ever talk disparagingly about another company or another manager. Never, ever do it. Like, it's really bad. So if you, like, oh. So at Facebook, we ask, tell me why you left every job. I love that interview. I gave that interview 304 times at Facebook. I love it because I can find out so much about what motivates you. Why'd you leave? And the correct answer is there was always this better opportunity. This better opportunity, this better opportunity. It's never about, like, you know, the reality of, like, my manager sucked, right? And I couldn't get promoted. And, like, the person I work with was such an asshole. And, like, it's about your next step. So make sure when you're talking about other companies, to talk about them in a really positive way. Because a lot of times they're looking for optimism, right? That's a really, we talked about leadership. A lot of PM jobs are about optimism. It's about, like, this is where we're going and get on board and this is how we're going to get there. And if you talk shit about another company, they're like, yeah, this isn't the right thing. Like, take accountability for what you do, but never talk bad about a company. And if you had a shitty manager or something really bad happen, I would probably just move on from that. It usually never helps. This is a no-brainer. Research who you are meeting with on LinkedIn, and to your point, there's probably something you have in common, right? You went to the same school, you work together, they're from the same place, blah, 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 but it's something that you can connect on. So do your homework, especially if you interview at LinkedIn. That's really important. I did that during the research for this. I did that, and I was like, they really want to know whether you... when you knew your stuff. Two more things. Sell yourself. When you get into an interview, you're going to talk about we, right? You're going to say, well, we did this, and then we did this, and then we did this, and then we did this. The job interview is about you. Don't ever forget that it's about you. So when you're talking, like, and you're trying to pitch your collaboration skills, that's when you can do we. But it's about you, so you're like, I did this, and I did this, and I did this. Have those three things that you want to talk about, but it's about you. And don't forget that it's about you. And the last one is what I started with, so I'll bookend this conversation. If some recruiter reaches out to you, talk to them. Just do it. Like, even if you're like, I would never go work for that company, just talk to them. It doesn't hurt. It's just a half an hour, right? And then if that goes okay, talk to a hiring manager. And the reason why I say this is it's about practice. Interviewing is a skill. It's something that needs to be practiced. So you're like, I would never work for that company. That company is just, I'm not going to do it, right? Just go. You can always say no, just reject them. But what you'll do is you'll learn. You'll be like, shit, this happens to me all the time. I talk too fast, and I use we all the time. I didn't sell myself, right? So it's something that you learn. It's a skill, and practice it. And who knows, you might actually end up with a job. So, okay, questions. You were first.
Yeah, I just had a question about migrating into the product management role. So as an engineer, what would you sort of recommend as the ideal place to go work at? Whether it's a consumer-facing company or enterprise, or it's a small startup, where would that right place be?
Oh, we are.
Yeah.
Okay. So it depends on what kind of company you want to work for. Sorry, I gave that same shitty answer to you, and now I'm going to give it to him. But here's how I'd answer that.
I mean, I'm asking in terms of learning, like, where can you be successful
at your
first job?
So you'll look, yeah. If you want to be super hands-on and learn how, like, a company runs, working at a startup is great. The problem with startups is they're probably looking for someone with PM experience that is pretty deep, right? Because they're taking a huge gamble that they need to pay back their VCs quickly. So I would say there are plenty of companies. Facebook, Uber, and Google are three of them that have what's called APM or associate product manager positions. Those are for PMs that have never been a PM before, right? And they really want, they're trying to fill those positions, right? And the reason is they want to find the diamond in the rough. They want to find one of you guys or two of you guys in this, or ladies in this room that are just going to be like, holy shit, this person's amazing, right? So look at companies with like those introductory APM positions. Some of them, like those three, have rotational programs, which is unbelievable, right? So you go work for Instagram and or Facebook, and then WhatsApp, and then Facebook newsfeed and video, and then you pick where you want to go. So they're called APM or associate PM positions. A lot of them have them.
All right, guys, we don't have any more time for questions right now, but again, Randy will stick around for a bit to answer any other questions you have. Thank you so much, Randy.